So good evening, good morning, everyone, and welcome again to our worship service and, of course, our sermon for today. It is Sunday, January 10th, 2021. Obviously, things are heating up, especially for the not only for our nation but for the Christian community, and I've tried to keep everyone as well informed as I could. And today we'll be going over some things that we need to examine in ourselves and with our fellow believers as far as Christians are concerned. So the sermon, of course, is posted. The outline is on Facebook. And I want to thank everyone again for joining us today. As you know, last week I begged and pleaded with especially Christians to remember that we're loyal to Jesus Christ. And yes, we do support our country, but we have to be loyal to our nation first. And I told everyone, stay away from the Capitol. It was not the time and the place to get involved in something like that. Unfortunately, many people, they've already been arrested, and they're looking for other people to arrest, which is not a problem if we are arrested for righteousness' sake. But obviously, with the events that happened last week, that's not something that we want to get caught up in as Christians. And there's a bigger conflict coming. So the main thing for you to do is prepare spiritually and physically and prepare with your community and be ready for what's going to be coming. We'll talk about some of that today. But first, let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our King. We thank you that you are alive and that you are a real king, not just an idea. And we're honored, Lord, that we are part of your nation, the people of God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a law to live by, a gospel that has freed us from the power of sin, and through your blood and your work on the cross and not through our work, we have redemption. We pray, dear God, that today you would keep the distractions to a minimum. We pray, Lord, that you would keep Fellowship Baptist Church focused as we listen to the sermon. And, of course, Lord, for our friends of the ministry, that the technology would work and do what it's supposed to so we can reach our friends and loved ones through the internet and the phone. And we pray, Lord, that most of all, that you would give me words that will glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit only. We pray, Lord, that you would give me a mouth that speaks truth today from your word. And we always thank you in the name of our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we're going to see, we are in a real battle, which will not stop as long as we are alive on this planet. We are expected to have conflict in this life. And as we've seen the past week, things are heating up as far as the anti-Christian rhetoric. You could be pro anything that's perverted, but as soon as you stand for God's law and righteousness, which men who have mimicked that law because it's in them, they'll call natural law. But the Bible informs natural law. So if you stand against any type of murder, perversion, theft, false witness, right away in this society for now, you are the criminal. But there are many that believe like us, and even those who don't, we have to be a faithful witness, and there are many people we need to reach as the American Empire and the Anglosphere continues to melt down. And the title of today's sermon, I believe, is proper. It's called Don't Back Down Now. And this is what all the training is for when we have situations like this. This is how God will parse those who practice Christianity as a hobby or something that just gives them a nice feeling, as opposed to those who understand what it cost Jesus Christ to buy us and redeem us from the power of sin and the devil. And now we are supposed to stand for him and understand what the cost is. But it's not easy in this generation because we are at the burned out phase. I hear many people praying, even ministers, saying, well, it looks like judgment's on the way. I heard Franklin Graham, who of course is a character, he had prayed something like that, that America is ripe for judgment or judgment's coming. Judgment has already been here. And we spoke about how the peak of that judgment on a nation, if you study the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when a nation kills its own children, judgment has fully arrived. It's already there. And now for the last 40, 50 years since Roe vs. Wade, we're just going through the motions. But it's not all doom and gloom. When empires collapse, just like with the Roman Empire, that means new opportunities for Christians to be able to worship God, to be able to bring more people into the kingdom of God. When an earthly empire and kingdom collapses, instead of panicking, we as Christians look at it as an opportunity to expand God's kingdom. It's hard to reach people when they're so busy worshiping their country or worshiping men and thinking that this is going to save them. So we have to remember that at the toughest times, we need to be faithful. So God's people, they must count the cost to follow Jesus if they have not already. All of our spiritual training is for times such as this. Our God uses times of trouble to separate the hobby Christians from true believers. Your spiritual maturity is paramount to survive the days of testing. And that's the first point in this message. Don't back down now. You have to make sure that you stay faithful to your commitment to Christ. If people think oppression is being banned from Twitter or from Facebook, then you are deceived. Real persecution will be worse, and we need to stand against all of it. Now, we have to remember, we should expect these things. This is a perverted and wicked generation, and even ourselves with this message, we probably will eventually be removed from certain sites. And of course, we'll try and switch to a Christian venue to carry our message. But if they don't, they don't. So while we have the time to give witness, we do it. We don't back down. And we have to remember, as opposed to what the church says in this nation, in America, where everything's going to be wonderful, I mean, the main message is the 2-3 top most popular preachers in the nation today, and maybe in the world, the prosperity gospel. That's what they teach, the wealth and health gospel. And it's very immature. And if you don't think we have an immature church, look at that Jericho March thing that went on, guaranteeing a win for President Trump. I mean, this is what Christianity has been reduced to. But real Christians will hang in there and stand on their faith even when things are bad. And they will be a witness. So please turn with me to Luke chapter 14. And we'll be reading verses 25 to 34. Let's see what Jesus tells us about believing and counting the cost before we call ourselves Christians and what we can expect at times. This is Jesus speaking. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sit not down first and count it the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that come against him with 20,000. Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. So we have an old saying in the West, amongst Western Christians, God, family, country. And what that means, it's pretty biblical, God comes first. You never surrender the teachings of God, the truth of God. You never compromise yourself, especially if you're someone who didn't count the cost, called yourself a Christian, and then when things became tough, you backed down. You had a horrible witness. People will only step on you more when you back down from truth. So you might as well not back down. Stand on the truth. Let them say whatever they're going to say. It doesn't change truth. Many men and women have died for the truth. Gravity is a real concept. So if people want to kill us because they believe they could jump off a skyscraper and live anyway, even if they kill us, gravity is still a truth. That when they jump off the Empire State Building, no matter how much they believe, they will splatter. They will be an unrighteous pancake on the pavement. So it doesn't matter. It's the same thing with God's law, with Christian truth. All they can do is kill us. It never kills the truth. So don't back down. Jesus said, count the cost. It wouldn't always be pleasant. When he talks about hating your family, he doesn't mean that you hate your family without a reason. He just means that you put the gospel first. By putting Christ's truth first, you can be a rock for your family, as well as for their children, for their grandchildren. You could be someone that they can always come to for truth. So don't compromise that truth. My uncle recently passed away. My uncle, we used to call him Dom, Uncle Dom. And I'm going to be faithful to his memory by realizing that all the sacrifice that was made through my family, my extended family, my aunts and my uncles, I remember him on Christmas, on Christmas Eve, whenever we get together, squeezing my face till I thought it was going to explode and give me that kiss on the cheek. And he always had that hair perfect and that nice tan from the Florida sun. Blessed memories I'll keep with me. Now, I will remain faithful to God and remain faithful to my family the same way you should, Fellowship Baptist Church. You remain faithful when you hold on to the truth for them. That's how we honor God. We honor our family. That now that my uncle has passed, if any of his children or grandchildren needed an answer based on truth, and if they asked me, no matter how difficult the question, I would give them the Bible and God's law and truth and righteousness, and I would not back down. And that's what you're supposed to do. All of the investment that your family has made in you, all the investment that God has made in you, don't back down when times are tough. When your family has given in to the sin of adultery or sodomy or whatever, drug abuse, drinking, and everyone else is making like it's okay as these people destroy themselves, you stand up and care enough to be the cornball, the weirdo, the idiot, but give them God's truth, because you're really the only one that cares when you give them the truth. And that's what Jesus meant. God, family, your country is last. Now, once you're faithful to God and you're faithful to your family, as Christians, we are the best citizens we can be in our particular country, where we are. And we're as faithful as we can be. But again, that comes last. So when we have a march on the Capitol, and there are sodomites in the march, and all types of characters and lesbians and those who are unfaithful and this crazy crowd. I can't go there in good faith and not be able to speak the gospel and jump on board for this fake conservative movement, which it's been for the last 100 years. It conserves nothing. So I have to be careful what hill I die on. We need to die for Christ, if need be, not for a silly political message. So it really doesn't matter this year. I know a lot of people are still melting down over the presidential election. The point is not who the president's going to be. It's that our nation is steeped in wickedness. We have inverted all our values. And as we have to get back to basics, and we have to suffer persecution if need be. And being thrown off of social media, this is only the beginning. People are losing their jobs for standing up for righteousness and for the faith. So we need to be prepared, but don't back down. We need spiritual maturity. And that's why we spent 20-something weeks in 1 Peter and talked about being the grown-up in the room. You need to learn your faith. You need to learn how to apply the faith to science, to politics. People need Christians. They need Christ, and they need a Christian witness. We need to be the heralds of the gospel. We have an insane culture that is anti-science. So we need to bring real teachings back. Now, point number two, not only do you have to prepare spiritually and count the cost to follow Christ, but material judgment is coming. So Christians must learn to share their material possessions again with one another. Food, clothing, and shelter will be harder to procure in the coming year. Don't be ashamed of that. Breaking out of the, quote, Western mindset of being a success based on your material possessions. We have to do that. What we've done, so many of our families came out of a state of humbleness, you know, three families and one house. People came here, they immigrated here, or even if you were here from the beginning, if you're one of those legacy families in America, we have so much wealth. And what we've done, instead of thanking God, we've based all our success on the car we drive, or the house we have, or how our investments look. And that's not the way we're supposed to live. Remember, communism and capitalism are the exact same thing if there is no God, if there is no Jesus Christ. You are a materialist. You think that your success is based on how many toys you have to play with before you die, like a child. We need to get out of that mindset. There is no shame in being poor. There is shame in being a pervert or being a thief or a murderer. There is no shame in being poor. There are communities that have never had a lot of money in their community, but they've remained salt of the earth and faithful. And that's how we need to be. So where before we all had enough to just be on our own, there are record numbers of people at pantries, and that is going to continue. And you need to pay attention, those in your Christian family and Fellowship Baptist Church. We have to keep up that spirit where if someone needed a coat, we got it for them. If someone needed food, we did the best we can to give it to them. And all of our friends in the ministry, you need to make real friends now, real connections now. So those internet relationships that you might have, make a real phone call. Connect with people. Start doing that now, especially those that are like-minded and mature in the faith. Because as things get worse, many of your fair-weather friends or fair-weather Christian friends will be gone because the heat is being turned up. So we need to focus on that. The church needs to learn to share again. And many people, they need therapy, they're committing suicide, they're getting divorced, families are breaking down because they've been so conditioned and programmed that success in your life means material success, and that's not it. It doesn't mean we don't need food. It doesn't mean we don't need clothing. The point is, if you have food on the table, clothes on your back, and a place to sleep at night, you are rich. You are well provided for. The wealth is your family, your church family, your friends, those around you. To have someone to be in covenant with, that's what's important. So many people, because of money problems, they'll get divorced. So a husband will divorce his wife because of the pressure. You just gave up true wealth, your wife. The material things you have don't mean anything if you're not providing for someone. And vice versa, money problems come into the relationship, the wife leaves. You just gave up all the wealth that you really had. You will resign yourself to judgment and loneliness. No matter how much stuff you have, it won't fill you, and God won't honor that. So we need to get back to a covenant mindset. Look at what the apostles did. Please turn to Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 35. We have an historical witness. After Peter and John were able to preach, and they were able to stand up to the leadership in their nation, in Israel, which was wicked at that time, just like our leadership now. They spoke about being let free, and they came to the believers, and everyone prayed for boldness, to be bold in the face of severe persecution. So let's listen to an historical record how the church really behaved when things were horrible, when it wasn't a wealth and health situation. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. The apostles suffered persecution. People lost their families, their homes, and they had to help one another. And those that had material blessings shared with other people. This was not communism. No one was forced to give their stuff away. This wasn't theft, like what the government does with us. Take half of our paycheck away before we even see the money. This wasn't theft. People of their own heart, of their own volition, gave. And how many of us in fellowship through the years, you needed something, and without even asking, the Lord allowed someone to provide. And it doesn't mean, this is not egalitarianism, socialism, where we're jealous of people with wealth, but people with wealth who are Christians should have a heart to share with those who are in need. It doesn't mean we'll all live equally. It doesn't mean we'll all have the same amount of money or material things, but we should look to help one another. And it's voluntary. It comes from your heart. It comes from your heart. And the church needs to learn to share again. I guarantee you, within the next 6 months, we'll all be sharing food and clothing and other things. Because judgment is already at hand. And those of you who have a government job or a steady pension coming in, great. But remember those Christians who don't. Those who are in the restaurant business, the smaller businesses, the mom and pop business, that they're being closed. Remember those people. We're going to need to share. And we're not going to be afraid, because the same thing that happened to the apostles, it's happening to us in our day. There are times in a country's history, physical border, right? The country, not the people, the country, because they don't care about the people where they betray them. And this happened in Christ's day. This happened during many periods in history, and it's happening now. And if you stand up for Christ, He will stand up for you. So those who think they have their foot on our neck will pay the price themselves. Those who think they're going to be buddies with the people who are destroying this country, they will be the first to be sacrificed. Trust me. This is what happens. But never give up and never back down. And look to serve God and look to serve His people. And it will work out. If you need to start a home group, a home church with those that are like-minded, do it. If you need help, reach out to us at Fellowship Baptist Church and we'll help you. We'll give you guidance. You need to commune with God's people. You can't look to these men that have betrayed you, and more important than the country, those in church leadership that have betrayed the church, that are telling you everything's going to be fine, just reject Jesus, get soft on sodomy, get soft on gay marriage, sodomite marriage, accept the transgenders, and then next, accept the trans species as we begin to splice people and animals together, which is already happening. They want you to get soft on cannibalism. You have people, because we're going to have a food shortage, they're making arguments now that if you take human cells and grow meat from it, and we eat that lab-grown meat that's human flesh, it's really not cannibalism, because we're not eating a person, we're eating cells that grew meat from a person. This is the same argument for the vaccination that we have right now. The vaccination we have, some of the components are made from cloned fetal cells. But you have Christian clergy defending this, saying, well, that abortion already took place, so there's no problem with it. Insanity, yes. But remember, the world, when they're anti-God, they're anti-science. So, point number one, count the cost. Have a mature faith. Get ready, okay? Don't back down now. Brace for impact. It's going to be heavy at times, but we'll make it through. Point number two, you need to organize with Christian people. Get over your Western mindset that you need all this stuff. Because if the stuff goes away, you will have a breakdown. So have faith in God. Remember, if you have the basics, you have everything. And then the last point, this is the most important point. Those who surrender to an evil generation will not survive. If you give in to these real terrorists that are anti-Christian, that tell you to accept things that are an abomination, you're going to lose your soul. I'm warning you. No matter how heavy the persecution gets, don't give in. Never compromise the gospel message out of fear. Never back down and never surrender. Our God will move for His people if we remain faithful. The modern church has surrendered because it was called names. So where the apostles were physically killed, where the early church in Rome, people were crucified, thrown to the lions, they wouldn't give in. The modern church, they've given up everything not to be called homophobic. not to be called misogynistic or racist or an anti-Semite. And by not standing up for the gospel, you're actually not caring for people. So if you're going to call me homophobic, someone who grew up in New York City, had sodomite doctors save my life through the treatment they gave me, have teachers that were sodomites that tried to encourage me as a person, if I am loving them in the gospel, how can I not stand up to them and always let them know that their lifestyle is sinful? It's not normal. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's sinful. And this is the understanding that the homosexual community and Christian people used to have. They weren't militant about it. They kept it a secret. If they were, they knew it was wrong. It's something they needed to struggle with. And we as Christians didn't act like secret police and try and find out what they were doing in their homes, in the privacy of their own homes. But we stood up and gave witness to them. If you don't give witness to someone who's destroying themselves, you are evil. One of my favorite teachers in junior high school was one of the first people to die from AIDS, from his lifestyle. It's not okay to let people destroy themselves. If you really love them, you'll give witness. You'll give witness. You'll stand up to the evil. The homophobia, same thing. You don't want to be called a racist. Anyone who is against abortion, who is pro-life in any way, you're automatically a racist. Anyone who actually mimics what Martin Luther King Jr. said, even with all his heresies, he was right. He said he dreamt of a nation one day where his children would be judged not for the color of their skin, but for the content of their character. Try and say that now, and you're a racist. All people notice now, as Christianity has left the church and the culture, as we've deserted Christ, everything is based on skin color now, or ethnicity. Whether it's voting, whether it's treatments, everything, that's all they do. Is everything is based on that now. So, don't be afraid to be called any of these things. Islamophobic. So many people are ignorant. They think that, well, you can't have a Christian nation. You can't have Christian laws. Really? Do we want Islamic law? So many Christian women thinking and not thinking, and they're not grateful for Christian law. Do you want a country which allows three wives per man? Do you want people mutilated through female circumcision? Do you want women mutilated? It happens. We have 250,000 young girls per year in this nation that are disfigured because of female genital mutilation. Is that Christian law? No, it's Islamic law. So don't play that game where we can't have Christian laws. You, believe me, if you study the issue, you would appreciate how much Christian culture has affected this nation and the rest of the Western Hemisphere. So call me racist, bigoted, Islamophobic, anti-Semitic. Call me whatever you want. Just don't call me an unbeliever. Don't call me an unbeliever. I'm going to stand on my faith, and I know that we have the truth. And if you love your family, if you're really faithful to your family, remember, it started with adultery. We wouldn't stand up to our family members who were so quick to get a divorce. Then we let the homosexuality, the lesbianism off the hook. If you have a lesbian cousin or child or whatever, if you love them, you would find out what happened to them that pushed them towards this lifestyle. You would love them enough where you would want that young lady, that young woman, to be married, to be fulfilled through childbearing and a loving relationship, to have children that love her sitting around the table in the future, not to be a depressed lesbian with cats and dogs as substitute children. You're not being faithful. You don't love your family members. You would give an honest witness if you did. And don't call yourself a Christian, because you have a dead faith when you do things like that. And again, as a New York City resident, we've had lesbians live around us all the time. But being a mature Christian and a faithful Christian, you'll actually get a knock on your door. Well, they'll want some spiritual guidance or help. And as long as they're polite about it and they're not militant about their perversion, you can speak to them and you can give witness to these people. So I love so many of these Christians that grew up in West Bumbledunk, wherever, never met a sodomite, never met a lesbian, never had lesbian or gay friends. They've never experienced multiculturalism, but they're going to preach to us who've experienced it how sensitive we should be. You have never had a homosexual friend die of AIDS. You have never had lesbian friends commit suicide. You've never experienced that. You've never watched Islam destroy a family, destroy a culture. I love the Middle Eastern people. I love the food. I love so many of the customs. Much of those are customs that we see in the Bible. The disgusting religion of Islam has destroyed people that would otherwise be a beautiful culture and a wonderful people. How could you not speak the truth to them? Same thing now. The Jews, the chosen people, that's all you hear from the church. No one gives witness anymore, as if they're going to be saved by magic. They forget what Paul told us, that they are enemies for the gospel's sake, but they're beloved for the Father's sake. If you love your Jewish family, you'll tell them about the gospel. You'll let them know that they also need to be saved, that they need to accept the true Messiah of the Hebrew people, Jesus Christ. Don't back down. Don't back down, no matter what the pressure is. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Paul speaks about this, verses 16 through 32. What does Paul say? What I've been saying to you now, and the same attitude you have to have, Paul starts, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Does anyone look at a skyscraper and say it built itself? Does anyone look at a painting and say that there wasn't a painter? So how do you look at all of creation and say, oh, cosmic accident? So Paul is saying, these people have no excuse. They pretend that they don't acknowledge God because they don't want to accept that they're sinners. And that's the main obstacle for people. They are dead in their sins. They don't want to accept that Jesus Christ might really be the Son of God, because then that makes them responsible for their lives. And they just might have to repent and say they're sorry to God and have their lives change and be uncomfortable. And it says, "And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." Look at us now. We worship nature. We worship nature. Even those who were once Christian nations, the official religion of Prince Charles, that dope in England, is Gaia worship, worshiping the earth. We're back to paganism, worshiping beasts. Paul's words have become true. These people professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Men can menstruate now. A man can wake up on Monday and magically decide he wants to be a woman, and you have to acknowledge him as a woman with proper pronouns? And Christians are unscientific? Grown men throwing on a wig and winning a high school weightlifting competition, or winning sprints against females, and we're supposed to clap and applaud and say that that's natural? Our president, President Trump, saying that Caitlyn Jenner, who was once Bruce Jenner on the Wheaties box, can now use whatever bathroom he wants to use at his hotel? These people are fried. And this is the death of a nation. And we need to preserve it as Christians. Because just like when Rome fell, we are going, the ones that they once made fun of, they will now come to for answers to continue our society itself. Trust me. And Paul said 2,000 years ago, once your mind is affected, this is what happens. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then this is your newspaper today. Go on any report, online, any newspaper, look what Paul lists. This is what our country is filled with. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know what that means? Our society right now, even the church in America, has pleasure and condones those who do wicked and evil things. And this is just what Isaiah said when Israel was collapsing. You've replaced evil with good and good with evil. So now staying married as a married couple for 30, 40, 50 years, that's wrong. You're limiting yourself. You're sinning against humankind. You should be swinging and single. Now, loving your daughter enough to protect her, tell her to save herself for marriage, that's what you need to do to remain physically healthy and spiritually healthy. Make a man marry you. You're not allowed to be like a car where it's test driven at the dealership before someone buys it. That you're worth something. You're holy. You're beautiful. You're an inheritance from God and for your family. No, go out. Have 19 to 20 partners before you decide who to marry. Or don't get married at all. And same thing for the men. Be like Hugh Hefner, one of these modern day swingers. Be a weak man. Be a pervert. That's the message now. So we're actually encouraged and condoned to do these things. Look at these shows about what house you bought or what you did with your car. And everything is, those who do horrible things and treat people horribly are condoned. Those who are conceited, self-centered. So we don't get involved in those things. We stand up for truth and righteousness, and we have to do it now. And your attitude should be the same. Tell people, I don't care what you call me, just don't call me an unbeliever. Say whatever you want. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names shall never hurt me. So the church and people back down over being called a name. You want to know something? When you give into these people, it's worse. Those people said, no, I'm sorry. I'm really not against abortion to save their job. They get fired anyway. Those who say, oh, no, I accept sodomy. I think it's an alternative lifestyle. I take it back. You lose your job anyway. You lose your career anyway. So that you might as well stand up for the Lord and maybe save someone with your bold witness instead of caving in right away. So remember that. Count the cost. You need to get out of that materialistic mindset that the stuff you have around you is who you are, and never surrender the message of the gospel. And if you love your family, as things are breaking up now, you'll give them the truth. There is hope for our nation. There is hope for our church, for our families. If you stay bold in Christ, they need us. And the persecution is going to get worse. This internet stuff is just the beginning. But you can't stamp out truth. And even if we lose our service on Facebook, we'll figure something out. So be encouraged. Be faithful. Get around other serious people. Don't be discouraged. You'll make it through. No matter how tough it gets, God will bring us through. If there are some older people still around that experienced the Great Depression, speak to them. Listen to their stories. They have a lot of experiences to offer. Many of us, our family members, if they're old enough, they've been through times like that. So it's not a time to panic. Just stand up to Christ. Don't give in to the perversion and give them the gospel message. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that you keep us bold, that we never back down, that we never compromise truth just to keep a job or to keep a relationship together that we shouldn't have. We pray, Lord, that our church, Fellowship Baptist Church, would stand firm on the truths that you've taught us from the Bible. We pray, Lord, for our friends of the ministry and also for other ministries themselves, many of them that are faithful in standing up for the Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would keep us strong and that you would keep us focused. We ask, Lord, that you give us a spirit of humility, that no matter how many things we lose, no matter how many physical possessions we lose, that we understand as long as we have you and the truth and we're in covenant with those around us, we have that beauty of fellowship with other Christians, that we have everything. We pray, Lord, you keep us safe until we meet at your church again next week. We always thank you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.